from stpetecatalyst.com.
From the St. Pete Catalyst. My name is Bill DeYoung, and yeah, you know what we're doing? We're keeping the arts together. We're keeping the you in arts. Even though there isn't one, you're involved, and we're keeping the arts alive in the Tampa Bay area. Cue the Ray Charles record, folks, because I got Georgia on my mind. Mm-hmm. I thought that was clever. I was hoping you'd laugh at that.
That's actually what I'm named after.
Oh, so. Well, we got to go there. My guest, is, you may have noticed, her name is Georgia. It's Georgia Mallory Guy. She is based in Tampa, as I understand it, and she's an actor and a producer and a director and I assume a writer because you're a multi-talent. And
I'll give it a try starting today.
We'll get your patent paper. Anyway, Georgia Mallory Guy is here with us and we are here to talk about her company, which is called Think Tank. It's a theater for young audiences company, and they have a show that is current, which we're going to talk about. Let me ask you about Theater for Young Audiences, TYA, which, okay, as I understand, is a national movement.
Sure.
What does it mean? What does it mean to you, and kind of what does it mean?
Well, let me start this way. I think most people, when they see the word young audiences, they presume children audiences.
Sure.
And many times that presumption also comes around children's theater, which is a completely separate entity in itself. Children's theater is theater done by children. And many times it is also done professionally in the sense that, well, much like Patel Conservatory and some of the things, you know, over at American Stage, the camps that they run, the things that they do, the programs that they have. So that is children's theater. Professionals are hired in to work with children. TYA is a movement that came out of around the 1960s and 70s. It was to encourage the next generation of theater goers, because if you think about it, there's theater that's done, you know, by children, and there's community works and stuff like that. And then it's like we just expect young people to appreciate and absorb and want to be part of professional theater that's done that caters itself more to, you know, adult and mainstream adult theater, is for lack of a better term.
Are we talking about a link here? We're talking about going from, you know, the three little pigs to Frankie and Johnny and the
Absolutely.
Clairvoyant.
Absolutely. Like, you've got to have some sort of middle meat that feeds. And also, if theater is a direct reflection of our lives and our community, then you're missing a whole huge demographic of people.
Right.
And that doesn't just mean children. That also means middle schoolers, high schoolers, their parents, their families, early college kids. It's work that is meant to be done that reflects them, because then they grasp the greater understanding of theater as a reflective mirror to society.
Sure. Yeah.
And plus it gives them meat to chew on. And then, you know, it's why we have middle school band programs, and then, you know, you go play in the Philharmonic, you know, orchestra. So it's very similar in that sense. TYA, as it is done at the national level and as it's done with TYA USA, which we're engaging to be members of with Think Tank, is professional theater that is done that does exactly that. It caters itself towards young people and families. It doesn't mean that it's watered down. It doesn't mean that it's childish. It's work, many ways, in my opinion, that is very, very relevant, and such as the play that we're doing now, The Wolves.
The Wolves, which I want to get to in a minute, but hold on a second.
Yeah, yeah.
The idea really, as I understood it with TYA, was that, and you touched on this, these are maybe themes that they can relate to, that instead of saying, you know, this is an adult thing, this is Terrence McNally,
sure,
I don't understand it, you know, or it's a little deep, but it's not child's play. It's, well, I tell you what, let's talk about The Wolves, because this is a good example, actually. The Wolves is your new show, and it's Friday the 13th,
yep,
which is today, as a matter of fact, folks. It opens it opens today at Stageworks Theater and runs through the 22nd. The Wolves is by Sarah Delap, and it premiered off-Broadway.
It did. At Playwrights Horizon is where it was cultivated.
It was very successful. Now, that's an off-Broadway show. That's not like a kid's play.
No.
But it is about a girls' soccer team.
Yes.
These are teenage girls.
16 and 17-year-old girls.
But so adults found it interesting, too.
Oh, yeah. No, it's a beautiful play, sort of written about the power of femininity, but also the concept of group and group dynamics, and what comes into play within, you know, a group that might be established. You have a newcomer, you have how people change throughout the course of their life, but, you know, you remain in contact. I think it's a prime example of how Think Tank approaches TYA, because, mm-hmm. again, you're dealing with the lives of 16 and 17-year-old women and the conversations they have, very slice of life present conversations.
What kind of conversations are we talking about? I read a synopsis of the play, and I'm not giving anything away. I'm going to put that in your corner. This is serious
stuff.
For
example, it's kind of set in, it's set in 2016-17, but it's still really relevant to today. For example, the very first scene has this group of women warming up for their soccer match, and they're talking about the Khmer Rouge, if you can remember that incident. Sure. That's happened. So you have 16 and 17-year-olds talking about an assignment they had in social studies where they had to read an article about the Khmer Rouge. That's one conversation happening and their opinions on this. And then the other is a conversation around a young woman who is scared to try to use a tampon and the other girls that are talking with her. So it's really slice of life, mm-hmm. in that sense. And it starts, without giving too much of the play away, it harps on some hard topics, I think, in a beautiful way that would allow, if people are leaving the theater, to self-examine and self-reflect, but also for teenagers to embark upon conversations with their parents, or parents to embark upon conversations with their young people.
But is it a drama that has an ulterior motive?
No.
Is that written into it? You know, this is going to get teens thinking about these things.
No, I don't think it approaches it.
Teens are going to run screaming from that if you tell them there's a lesson involved.
No, I think actually, instead of telling them there's a lesson, I think it's more about, like, they see themselves and they see themselves reflected, and to that it means something. I mean, I did Rosa Walsh at Free Fall, which was something for me that was, being now in my 40s, it's something that meant a lot to me, that story. Mm-hmm. And the character I played was very close to the bone in terms of where she's sort of living in her life. Now, I didn't have a mother like Rose. Mm-hmm. My mother is a lovely, lovely, caring woman who's genuinely my best friend. But
as Rose was not.
Well, Rose became her best friend, but Rose, you know, yeah. Rose was not a great mother.
No.
Mom, you're a great mom. So Brenda Gale Mallory is fantastic. But I think, you know, I had a number of kids that are affiliated with Think Tank come to see the show, and they thought the show was really good. The relatability was not for them, though. It was for, I had senior adults that were seeing that show that would come to me after or write me the most beautiful Facebook messages about how much it meant to them. That was a show for their generation.
Sure.
Yeah. So then when Think Tank did Lightning Thief that we just did back in October, so many kids that are sending us Instagram messages saying how much they love the book and love the show. We had kids come back two or three times to see the show because of how much they love the Percy Jackson. It was relatable to them. And so I think that is where, in the world of TYA, it encompasses so much. I mean, at American Stage, they have the Apprentice Company, I mean, professional young actors that are taking Cinderella, East Rites, and Beans to schools, and that speaks to younger people. The same with Meg Heimstead's company over in Tampa. Mm-hmm. That speaks to those younger people, but is employed with professional actors that are serving that age group. The difference between, and so that still makes it TYA. It is for young audiences, that younger elementary sort of school capacity,
right.
And that is very important. What I feel then ends up being missing, and this is where theaters like myself and Orlando Repertory Theater and some of the theaters that approach more mature works in TYA, we see that there needs to be the middle bridge, and so we sort of consider ourselves like a tier two level TYA. So you have professionals still working for younger elementary type audiences that relate that. And then there is the next level TYA, which is doing more mature works, not shying away sometimes from cursing on stage or hitting some harder topics like suicide, sexual assault,
right.
Things that, you know, reflect the young people.
It's real. It's real. I should say, I mean, I recognize the name of quite a few of the actors in the world.
Yeah.
So these are adults.
Yeah.
Adult actors. It's not sort of a bunch of... And you have people, and you have a company,
a young
teen company.
We have an apprenticeship as well that information will be coming out, but those students have to be a freshman in high school, and they come through a pretty rigorous audition process with us, and if they are invited to be a member of what we call our Young Artist Ensemble, It's actors, it's kids who actors, stage managers, designers, all that want to sort of facilitate any of those areas within the realm of theater. If they're, you know, offered to be part of that company, what's really beautiful about it is when they can be part of a show, they can be part of a show. And when they can't because they have other obligations, then they're not. But they're always part of the company. Mm-hmm. So sometimes it opens up more opportunity for one person. And then it'll open up an opportunity for someone else because not everyone can be involved at the same time. So it kind of keeps the wheels and the cogs going. But we have three young ladies who are part of that company who were involved in The Wolves. And I'm going to tell you, you come in and you watch it, you don't know who they are. Except if you open the program and see the asterisk by their name, you wouldn't know who is a professional actor in our company and who is part of our young artist ensemble. It elevates everyone in the room. The young artists are just as talented as many of the professionals. Some of them have gone off and done professional works with other companies too.
So. One thing I wanted to ask you about, would you recommend this for adults too?
Oh, gosh, you know, yeah.
I mean, maybe that's a duh kind of question.
Yeah.
But since it was off-Broadway and got some nominations, as I remember, and so it's obviously a pretty
it
serious
is
a,
it's
work.
It's an incredibly well-written play. I mean, it was an Obie Award winner. It was a New York Times Critics' Choice.
It did win the Obie. Okay.
Oh, yeah. It's an incredible, it's a very well-written work. And that's why I say, like, I think for audiences like myself, who would be in their 40s and above, what we see is many times a reminiscence of being that age and feeling those things, but also recognizing that they never go away. That, you know, I've been in the room, again, where I'm the new person around a bunch of people that seem to have this sort of fill with each other. The conversations may change, but I mean, throughout our lives, it always feels like we're rediscovering who we are. And we just see it. We begin to start going like, God, I remember being 16 and 17 and feeling like that. And here I am at 41 and I still feel like that.
I'm a few years past 41 and I still feel that way too.
Right?
It's the main reason I kind of don't go to parties because I still feel excluded.
I am an Irish exit kind of party girl. Like,
What does that mean, look, Irish exit?
You'll look around and go like, wait, did Georgia leave? Wait, when did Georgia leave? Like, I don't like making a show of saying goodbye.
Bill was here, wasn't he? He was
yes.
here for a few minutes.
I'm definitely one of those people who's like, and now I'm going to sneak away.
Ghosting. What does Irish exit mean?
The same thing. It's like when I guess technically today
Irish?
It could be a ghost. I don't know. I've just always heard it said it's called the Irish exit.
But these things do come back to you when you see a show like
this. It's also, you look at it and you go, that's kind of where it starts. Like, recognizing at that sort of pivotal age of, because you're not quite an adult at 16 and 17. This goes for young men and young women and anyone who's, you know, in between those genders. Like, you're that's the place in your life you weren't quite an adult, but you weren't a kid anymore. Like,
right.
The expectations of how you should be and where you should be and how mature you should be and responsibilities you should handle. And so everyone can recognize that is like, that is the start of my anxiety. You know, like.
it's a drama, but I mean, there's some lighter moments.
Oh, yeah, no, there's some lovely lighter moments. There's
but it's not,
lots
it's
of
not,
funny stuff.
It's not Mean Girls. It's not Clueless.
No,
and it's not whatever that other one was. I can't, Heathers,
no.
You know.
I think it's actually, it kind of makes me think of when I was really young and thought my opinions were so very valid, and they were valid. It's just the passion that sometimes young people have when they're so. I was actually talking about this last night with a colleague who was talking about, you know, we were both like, isn't it? It really just makes my like give a crap meter go back up about what I'm doing in life to see young people get really passionate about the arts. Cause then I'm like, well, dadgummit, now I want to go back out there and like act or direct or produce or something. Like, I'm seeing these people be passionate. And I think that's kind of within that realm of watching this play. What I love about those moments in it is the moments where we talk about it, how it just made us feel, where we saw that begin, where we, yeah, so it's got it runs the gamut of.
I made Georgia talk for 5 minutes straight there because
while you took a picture.
I was taking her photograph for the podcast. But yeah, no. Why is this important to you to do this kind of work? And because you're very passionate about it. We've talked about this before.
I'll tell you kind of where it came out of. I was I was the artistic director of a children's program down in South Tampa, South Tampa Center for the Arts, that now my beautiful, wonderful friend, Sarah Pullman-Antanasio runs, and with my other lovely friend, Kelly Bunton. And what's always been so beautiful about that program is that all of us that are engaged with it are professional actors, directors. And so I would go work many, many projects. And I remember I was doing The Maids, and I had a parent come up to me and go, I want to bring my child to come see you in The Maids. And I went, whoa, hold on a second. And I said, why don't you come see it first and then decide.
This was at job site?
This was at job site. Okay, so this was like back 2015.
It was you and Katrina,
maybe? It was
maybe?
Me and Katrina and Roxanne.
And Roxanne, okay.
And it was the first show I did with job site.
Serious business.
Well, that was the thing. And it was such a... strange play that harped on so many things that could be a little disturbing. And so I told the parent, why don't you come see it and then come see, and then you can decide if your child is ready to see it.
Right.
And so she came to see it, and we went out and had drinks after, and she was like, yeah, no, I'm really glad I didn't bring my kid to see this. And that was the thing, is I started going.
Light bulb.
Right. Yeah. I started to go, I am not a parent other mm-hmm. than to my two beautiful fur babies and also, well, three, because there's my kitty, but I...
That's a plug.
Adopt, don't shop. So I went, I don't know, I got to thinking about the fact that I sort of hated having to over-explain sometimes to parents the fact that maybe they shouldn't come see me in this show because of the nature of what mm-hmm. it was.
Yeah.
Now... But that's because those kids at that time were very young. They were, I'm thinking about kids who are 7, 8, 9 years old. And so I got to thinking about what we need in the Tampa Bay area is a theater that does cater to young people and families in a way that directly reflects them more. And then, as Think Tank sort of progressed, and I started thinking about the fact that, we should have, as we're plotting through seasons, and now this is the second season we've done this, a more mature work, a work that sits a little more mature than the others, that might be more for teen, young college, or those types of elements and age groups and families, so that they can come in and see something, again, that reflects them and is relatable on that level to them. So we typically... as it was born out of my head and as it has progressed, in the fall we typically do a show that is book series based, and that way we can incorporate it with libraries or educational programs, and they can read the book, or they can be part of it, or they could have read the book in January.
That was Lightning Thief.
That was Lightning Thief. Right. That was The Giver.
The Giver.
Yeah. So those were those, and where we partnered it with The Curious Instead of The Dog in the Nighttime. So two sort of scholastic type books. Before that, previously, before we went into COVID, it was Around the World in 80 Days. Mm-hmm. So we've always looked to do like a scholastic type element in the fall. And then starting last year in January, we did All the Great Books Abridged. So that's one of those pieces. Sits, again, maturity level a little bit more. Got some things that are a little bit more raucous, some jokes that are a little deeper. So we had that element. And so this year we decided, I had seen The Wolves. I loved The Wolves. I felt it was very on mission for us in terms of that reflective mirror of society and speaking to our age group. And so I really fought for the rights to it. Like
slotted right in there. Did. Yeah.
So I got it and put it in. Yeah.
We're talking about Sarah Delap's The Wolves, which runs January 13th through 22nd, produced by Think Tank, which is Tampa's Theater for Young Audiences. It's at the Stageworks Theater site. Good news about Stageworks this week, by the way.
I know, right?
The landlord said, don't pay us rent anymore. Here, you can have the place.
Right.
And way to go, Carla. Good That's for all them. I got to say.
One of my besties. I love that, Carla. She's actually a founding member of Think Tank.
Oh, there you go. Yep. There you go. Carla was one of the first theater people I met when I moved back here. She's fabulous. You can go to thinktanktya.org for information and tickets about The Wolves. It is something worth seeing. We're here talking with Georgia Mallory Guy, who is the founder and... Producing artistic director.
That's me.
I love that phrase. The pad. She's the pad man of Think Tank, which is again a TYA, and we're talking about The Wolves. Yeah, it was right there in the tip of my tongue. This is why we don't edit, folks. It's just naked.
ABR. Just always goes. Be recording.
Always be recording. Is Think Tank paying for itself? I guess that's the question. I assume you're a nonprofit working on it. Okay. I mean, how has it been, like, post-COVID? Is it paying for itself?
You know, yes. We've had some really lovely sponsors. The Go Beyond Foundation, from the beginning, has and Neil and Gianna are some of my dearest friends, and they've just really believed in what our mission is. They believe in the Mature Works, and, you know, we have our TYA Playwrights Festival that they are big supporters of and components of. Mm-hmm. And so I appreciate them for sort of standing by my side. We have some lovely sponsors and donors that have stepped into the mix. And of course, the number of grant Hillsborough County, Florida Division of Cultural Affairs, you know, all that stuff that we do to gain grant money to sort of help roll us forward. And, you know, I'm on staff with Freefall as well. And Eric's a dear friend, and Matthew and Amanda over there. And, you know, it's hard for everyone right now. Like we all sort of thought it's weird that within the COVID realm, like how stir crazy we were in the beginning.
Oh, sure.
And in some ways it's almost like backfired with the sense of now it's just easy to stay home. And it's like we got really comfortable in our sweatpants. And so it's like, and I know the movie industry is feeling this because they're releasing things now, not only in theaters, but also on Apple TV and streaming. Netflix. And it's that.
I count on that, by the way.
Right. Well, that's the caveat is theater can't.
I'm one of those sweatpants people. Yeah, theater can't. You got
to
go see it.
It is meant to be experienced in person as a group dynamic.
I remember David Jenkins saying, you know, I don't want to stream anything. I hate this.
What's funny is in this area, it has not been, I believe, cost effective to us. Mm. People in Florida, because Florida was COVID was, whether you agreed with it or not, COVID was handled much differently. And I call it the Disney effect because I myself am a pass holder. The Disney effect is Disney was still open. Yeah. So if Disney's still open, even though a majority of the shows weren't happening, why can't I go see a show? And the common man's grasp of what it takes to produce theater, it's like, you know, we always say people should wait tables at least once in their life to understand the food and service industry.
Sure.
I think the same can be said for anyone who is a lover of the arts and performing arts. They should have to produce something once in their life.
Make it happen.
And then understand what all has to happen, what dominoes have to be put there and knocked over in order to get us to opening night.
But you're doing all right.
No, we're doing great. Yeah. But it's just with everyone, it's been, whether you're a company that runs at 1.6, you know, million, or you work under 500,000 yearly, you know, it is not easy for everyone. And ticket sales don't cover the cost of things. Mm-hmm. Ticket sales maybe cover anywhere between 40 to 60%. 60% would be a blessing. And that's, I mean, like, I don't even know a company in the area that probably covers 60%. That's where it's so important for, you know, when you see those Facebook giving things, it's like, if you can give $5, $5 actually helps.
Yeah. People do it for their birthdays.
Oh, of course. Yeah. I do one for my birthday every year. Give to Think Tank. It's also on July 4th, which is a little bit of a bummer because nobody sees it on July 4th.
I think I sent you a cute meme. I probably
you did.
Have some money.
But yeah, that's the, you know, I think all of the arts, all of us in the area we're not without struggling, but we're making it happen and trying to be as protective of those in the room with us. In the sense that we want everyone to be healthy and we want everyone to feel like their time is valued and that we're not wasting their time. So that's been a very important challenge. It's also been why lots of companies are having to downsize the number of actors they use in a show. Because like I said, it costs a lot of money and we can't stream it to you.
You've got, how big is the cast of The Wolves? I'm going to transition into something, but you made me wonder that.
The Wolves is 10 people. Which is big for a play.
That's
big.
That's
And
everybody says, oh, that's why we're doing all these one-person shows.
And I'm not going to lie. Moving forward into next season, we have to think a little bit about downsizing some of our casts and things as well, which is like a little heartbreaking because, you know, but we do have what we do have is our apprenticeship with our Yay members, and they are compensated in some way. And because of that, I mean, they get to put some hours towards Bright Futures. Of course, they get to work hands-on with some great actors where they like have mentorships. We have many of the actors that coach some of our young actors in other auditions. And then they get small stipends and things like that for being part of the shows. So there's a large payoff for being part of that internship for the young artists. So technically we have 7 employed actors and we have 3 young artists. And then you have to think about, I have a set designer, a lighting designer, a props master. I have a technical director, a production stage manager, an assistant stage manager. So just like every company, there's all the behind the scenes people. And then I don't work for free. So
yeah, well, it's not, the bottom line is it's not just, hey kids, let's put on the show and put the sheet up in the back of the garage. Georgia, while we have a few minutes left, I wanted to just ask about you a little bit. Mm-hmm. Are you from Tampa originally?
I'm not. I'm originally from around Montgomery, Alabama. Well, I take that back. I was born in Opp, Alabama.
Opp?
To Opp, O-P-P. Oh. And my mother and father were band directors, so I grew up in a band director world. In fact, I thought I was going to play my oboe professionally, and did. I played with the Montgomery Symphony. And
this is why you're so responsible. It all makes sense to me now.
So, and then bounced around Alabama a little bit with my folks, just with band directors, always move programs and things, and ended up in Prattville, Alabama. I went to Troy University for dual degrees in music education and theater performance, and then taught, was a band director for a few years, was playing with the Alabama Symphony.
What, do you play the oboe, you
said? I do play oboe. I play all woodwinds, but I play my primary instrument is oboe. Yeah. I play some piano and some guitar and
Mark
Sforzini
is an oboist, isn't he? Yeah, that's right. Yeah.
Yeah. And then from there, I did my graduate work at Ohio University. My husband and I got married before I went to grad school. Mm-hmm. And after grad school, he got transferred to Tampa, and I was at Milwaukee Repertory Theater for a year with their intern program, and then I came to Tampa. And then, and that was sort of that.
And when did you come to Tampa? When was that?
2012, I think, because my very first show was Rocky Horror in the Park.
Right before I was born here, but I came back in 2014. And the first show I saw, what was the one set in the movie theater? At job site.
Oh, The Flick.
The Flick.
Yeah.
Yeah, and then I saw you in Constellations.
Yeah.
And other things that I can't remember right now. And,
Constellations was actually the last show I did before COVID. So when I went back, and Rose and Wash was the first show I acted in after COVID.
Which I saw too.
I was like, is my actor broken? Hold on. I got to find lines again.
That's a good question. What is that like as an actor to sort of say, I've had a 2-year break or a 1.5. You can't really rehearse in front of the mirror. Remember how to do this?
Yeah, and there was a lot because I am a member of Actors Equity, and I'm a very appreciative of my union. And along with another union member here in the area, we did a letter writing campaign within like the first 6 months of COVID, where we were essentially like, here in Florida, all of these directors, almost all of them are equity members. Mm-hmm. So they're not, it's not like, this idea of like a New York producer sitting there twirling their mustache being, trying to put actors in. And I don't believe there are any New York producers that do that either, but
certainly not with the mustache.
Not with the mustache anymore. That was like, 1930, I guess. But Dick Dastardly and stuff.
Right.
But they, we were really advocating for get us back in the room. Let us go back and work. Our theaters want to protect us. Like you're putting us in a position where we have to go work somewhere else where we wouldn't be as protected. There was a huge letter writing campaign. There were actually 2 I was on during COVID in terms of trying to talk to National Council and get us back into the room. And eventually we all got back and we got back in there and COVID and equity is beginning to sort of move back and trust companies more again. But Some of the actors who might be listening to this might remember those Zoom meetings that we had with Equity members across the state of Florida, where I'm sitting there in my house running a Zoom meeting, like letting everyone talk who wants to talk. They were 3-hour jam sessions, and we would encourage each other to drink wine behind their camera. Like, you know, it was a let's hash this out and talk kind of situation.
Behind the camera. We have about a minute left. You're in The Elephant Man, which is the next production of the Tampa Repertory Theater coming up in February. What a cool show. How's that going?
It's going really well. Yeah. It's going. I'm a little heartbroken that this week I can't be with my cast as much because of Wolves.
Oh, sure.
But Amelia is one of my dearest, dearest and best friends. And I get to share the stage with Paul and Chris Marshall and then the lovely company, Maya Quinones, Amy Salee, Bridget Bean, Don Walker, Matthew Belapavlovich. I think I've named everybody. I'm sorry if I left you out.
We want to be sure and mention Paul is Paul Potenza. Yeah, who's Paul playing Potenza. John Merrick, and Paul's an amazing actor.
Yeah, it's going to be a really moving show. It's done at HCC in the black box space, so it's a very intimate space where people can get really up close. I think what's sort of beautiful about it is, you know, the play is meant to be done without prosthetics. So it is truly the concept that when you see the actor, they are contorting themselves, but you understand that what you see is yourself in The Elephant Man. And so there's the concept of beauty and religion and science and these themes that sort of flow through the show. That's
theater when it works.
Right. It just lets you know, has history really changed all that much?
Right. Mm. Georgia Mallory Guy has been our guest. Look at my summation. It's just so perfect. Her name is Georgia Mallory Guy, and she is the founder and producing artistic director of Think Tank, which is Tampa Bay's theater for young audiences. January 13th through 22nd, it's The Wolves by Sarah Delap, and it's at Stageworks over in Tampa. And
We have a really special Monday night performance on the 16th, which is an industry night performance because so many shows are running at this time. And we would love, I plugged it over with the cast of Hamlet and like my cast that's in rehearsals right now with Elephant Man, where we've been telling them tickets start at $10 and $5 for students. And, you know, it's a pay what you want at the door kind of thing. Or
so it's not just for industry people.
We've got a lot of people that are coming that are actually had a couple of people that work at the bar across the street. They were like, I'm coming Monday night, and they bought their ticket because again they're working when there's a show.
Pay what you can. I think I'll be there that night,
Georgia. Come Monday night the 16th.
Folks, if you want to find out more about The Wolves and about Think Tank, go to thinktanktya.org. I'm Bill DeYoung. This has been Arts Alive with the St. Pete Catalyst. Georgia, thank you so much for being here.
Thank you for having me.
And we'll see you next time.
From stpetecatalyst.com.